Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Sales Quants podcast, a production of Madison, Michigan and Market. It's still not Harry Stebbings with a cool accent. It's Jeff Herman, and we are thrilled to be here with you today. On the show today is one of our favorites, Jack Kozakowski, the worldwide leader in social selling strategy and just an all-around super good guy. Adds tons of value, very dynamic personality, and we're thrilled he's here today with us. We talk about his transition from sales leader to business leader and dig into his feelings. We talk about feelings quite a bit on this podcast. So hope you enjoy it. Please stay tuned and look forward to your feedback after the show. Here's Jack. Jack, how are you today?
Man, you know, just a good old Friday, and you know, another day of digital paradise.
Yeah. So for like the 2.5 people that don't know who you are, give a brief introduction about yourself.
So I'm a passionate social selling evangelist, and then I run the U.S. division of a global agency called the Creation Agency, and you know, we do all things digital, just trying to turn digital to dollars for companies. We run marketing automation, as a whole. So we run social, we run email, anything that has to do with digital, all social content. And really our whole focus is data-driven results when it comes to marketing. And then how do we take that data, give it to the salespeople so that they could start to communicate in new ways with buyers on new channels, and actually convert sales conversations at a higher pace, more quality pace. That actually, we believe in being on the phone. We actually believe that if you do the right things, you actually be on the phone more by using these other channels and having way more effective email communications. And so that's kind of how, what we do. We train and coach teams how to bridge that gap once we've done the marketing piece.
Right. That's phenomenal. I mean, you're right. Higher quality, and if it's relevant, people want the conversation, right?
Absolutely. And then, there's just so many different things that are going on in marketing today, right? There's, marketers have traditionally been very good at keeping up. Salespeople are still selling the way that they did in, the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
Or the telephone came around. So, there's a big, big divide, because as marketing adopts all these new technologies and they're doing all these new innovative things and trying to bring new people into the funnel, forms are not working like they used to. So now it's about, how do we get in, the conversation started with the right people? But somebody's got to come in on the digital line, the digital phone line now, and they've got to bring that conversation forward and move it offline. It's just not, it's just not going to come to you like it used to when everybody wasn't fool that they filled out a form, they were going to get a call from 500 people.
Right, right. So it sounds like change management is a big part of your day every day. So,
education. I do a lot of content education, testing. One of the things that I'm proud of myself in is being kind of the tester and the innovator. And my business partner in the UK, he does the same. So, we always try to stay ahead of the digital curve and, new innovative, creative ways that people can use technologies to communicate.
Right. So here, specifically around driving change and making an impact on individuals, you wrote a great piece the other day on your journey from salesperson to CEO over the past 5 years. How does it make you feel? Like, how do you feel? How are you impacting people at a greater level today than you were 5 years ago? Or is it just on a much more scalable way today?
Yeah, well, I couldn't impact anybody 5 years ago because I didn't have a lot of people to impact. So, of course, now, four years ago, I had less than 500 LinkedIn connections. Now I've got almost, 10,000. I had zero Twitter followers. Now I've got almost 40,000. I've got, 12,000 followers on Instagram. Now, some people would look at that as a vanity metric, but what I would tell you is that I look at that as my network metric. Using content, creating content, curating content, sharing content has created tons of conversations for me. And so that's where I think I impact the most is through, you know, people is through education and kind of opening up their eyes and telling a story about what's happening today in a different way than everybody else so that they have an aha moment.
Right. So you mentioned the word education, and this makes me, you know, there's some buzz in the market going around. Is social selling really dead? What is the state of social selling, right? Because it's just education, right? It's just taking the time to add value. In your words, add value, get visible. And how do you feel about that? Do you feel like social selling is a tired term and it just, you know, that's fancy. Let's just call it education.
Oh, I would like to just call it sales, you know, because that's what I believe it is. I think that, you know, just like you have, Jill Conrath has agile selling, you have the challenger sale or challengers type selling. Your social selling, you call it what you want to call it. I mean, most people are just using it, you know, using the term to try to get it, you know, their motive and whatever advantage they can get, you know, against it or for it. Really, I just look at it as, listen, it used to be you communicated over phone, and it used to be you communicated over email. The third layer to that was your offline was going into a meeting or setting an appointment and going in and shaking somebody's hand. The times have changed. Now, you know, yes, you can still cold call. I won't say that it's dead, but I'll say it's a lot less effective without doing research and using all the data that's out there on individuals to know what's important to them personally. Professionally, you'd be an idiot, in my opinion, to pick up the phone and just spray and pray dial to not know anything about the people that you're going to ask for something, right?
Right.
But the new communication, I mean, the phone now is Facebook Messenger. You know, the phone is, I mean, I have more conversations now in an hour than I used to have in sales 3 years ago, all day, you know, all day or all week, because now we have, you, wherever your buyers live or wherever your network lives, you can be in constant communication with them. You can constantly stay in front of them. You couldn't do that any other time. Why would anybody in their right mind not want to be visible, valuable, and get even more connected to their buyers? It makes absolutely no sense. So, you know, the most simple form, what I call social selling, is it's a new channels to communicate with your buyers. And there's techniques and strategies and ways to do that, but there's a lot to it. It's not easy.
Right.
You know, handing somebody a list and saying dial, dial, dial until somebody, you get lucky and somebody picks up, and then you get even luckier and somebody says, yes, they'll give you their time that you don't deserve. But why do it that? I mean, you know, why do that? You know, that could be a little part of your strategy, but you have unlimited access globally, one-to-one to anybody that you want in the world. How you take advantage of that is completely up to you. And if you're in sales, I'll tell you this, you look at your sales career, your social selling might be your long-term plan. You might not be in an industry right now where you could tweet to a CEO, but the thing is, if you're gonna be, if you're, especially you're young, you're in sales and you're gonna be in sales for the next 30 years, if you don't wanna beg for business the rest of your career, then you have to do something else, because you will essentially have to beg for business over the next 5 years if you don't become visible, valuable, and get massively connected in your niche industry, because your competitors who do, they'll bury you. You will literally disappear. You'll be invisible. And they will, anybody that follows this methodology where they get visible, valuable, and connected, not only will make an impact short term for the buyers that want to look up somebody and see what kind of credibility they have, and they want people that actually do something more than just sell them all the time. But even more importantly, long-term, imagine if you got started with social media, even baby steps right now, started writing a little content, sharing a little content, connecting with people, building your network or your audience. You know, little by little, you could scale that year after year. And in 5 years, you know, what are you going to do to become the expert or the one that people want to do business with, not the one that has to beg for it?
Right. No, I agree with everything you're saying. What's an experience been like in coaching, as say a VP of sales that's obsessed with sales KPIs, dials and emails and lead volume? What's your experience been like? Share a time when you coach someone, and how did you get them to see the light? And did they dump their KPIs? Did they lower their KPIs? Like, how was that transition? How have you seen that done?
I'll be completely honest with you. It's very, very hard, and it's very, very rare to change mindset, just like anything in life, right? I mean, people, you know, the mind is a powerful thing. When you've made up your mind about something and this is the way to do it, it takes a lot to convince somebody differently. So I think you have to show results. But even, you know, I've had this experience, even if you show some VP of sales results, they still don't listen. Just like, you know, people in politics, you know, Republican versus Democrat, right? It's almost like the same strategy. You've got traditional mindset versus the more modern, you know, selling type of mindset. And what the only way that I can see that you do it is you can't try to convince them by theory. You've got to convince them by numbers. And so, you know, pilot programs have always been the best way to go for us. Mm-hmm. Give us five reps that you know are already social, or they already believe in this and they want to learn this. And then let's put them up against, you know, the rest. Let's put them up and see what their numbers look like after a certain period of time. And I'll tell you, when the numbers look good, VPs of sales, they start to listen. But does that mean they ever make their mind up that they want to, you know, if they're really traditional? In most cases, no. I've found that, you know, they still don't believe in it because they just don't get it. You know, social is one of those things where if you're not doing it, you don't understand it. It just looks like a whip in most cases, because they see Bieber and, you know, Kardashian. That's what they think of social media. But they don't look at it as an actual communication tool that you can incorporate value into your business processes. And that's at every level, right? Sales, marketing, customer service. But they don't understand the communication piece of it. So until they get involved or they see results, it's usually almost, you know, impossible to get them to really, really believe in it.
Right. So how do you get someone started? You know, we have a tyranny of choice out there. We have so many choices, so many options, so many social media networks, so many content types, video, audio, imagery, text. I mean, you're extremely effective. It seems like you're nonstop. I think you actually are more. I see you more than I see Gary Vaynerchuk. So, and maybe because the algorithm likes us better or something like that. But how much time can, you know, you personally, right? So you're running, you know, a large agency. You guys are kicking butt with clients. How much time do you spend on client strategy and really, you know, driving client strategy? And what's that balance for your own company / personal branding for the benefit of building the profile of the business?
So I bring in about 95% of the business. So I actually do sales calls quite a bit. we've got, you know, we're building a sales team now, but for the last year and a half, it's been me in the States, you know, working with my team. But I have to do it all. There's three parts to what I do is, you know, strategy with clients, you know, sales, and then, you know, the marketing piece for myself. And the way that we look at the marketing is personal branding is everything, right? My business partner and I, we make a commitment to content curation on a daily basis. Now that can be simple. I mean, what a lot of people don't realize is that there's tools and technologies that can make you look really, really, really smart at social media, mm-hmm. content creation, and take you very little time. So with that being said, it's a commitment. I make a commitment to my personal brand every single day, and there's a reason for that. It's not because I want to be the next Kim Kardashian or, you know, I don't really care about the amount of followers I have. What I care about is that I want to stay in front of people and be so, you know, so valuable that people want to come and have a conversation with me, or when I go to them, they already know who I am and they actually want to have that conversation. Yeah. I don't want to do business and sell the way I used to.
Yeah, how many clients actually say, Jack, what you did on Facebook the other day, do that for me? Like, how often do you get that?
I get that question a lot. A lot of times what people do is they reach out to me, how did you do that? So that, right. A lot of times it sparks curiosity into the conversation. But what I get a lot is, you know, Jack, I love your stuff. I love, you know, what you're putting out. And I love, you know, X, Y, and Z. Would love to hear your opinion on this. A lot of the sales conversations that I end up in start off because somebody read something that they found interesting or they could relate to. And they had a question that was a small question to fix a small problem that they have. And you get on the phone and you have just a normal conversation. And it's really interesting when you would just help somebody fix one little problem, how you can help them realize that they actually have way bigger problems mm-hmm. than that one little problem. And in most cases, most companies don't have marketers, especially when they start to get mid-market enterprise, they don't have marketers that are innovative. And they don't have marketers that really understand the new tools and technologies. They might have marketers that are great at strategy. It might be a little piece of the big marketing pie, but marketing and sales today is so complex, but it's so simple. Mm-hmm. The complex part is technologies. You have to have the technologies at all levels to make you efficient in, from a marketing perspective. But now what's happened is you actually have to have those at a, from a sales perspective as well, because you could scale sales conversations down.
Right. What's your favorite? So, right. Scaling sales conversations. What's your favorite tool to use to, you know, what are you using today to scale your sales conversations?
So to manage my sales conversations, which I think is really tough for salespeople right now, is Sprout Social. I find it's like an email inbox for all your social channels that all flow into one. So that's, you know, where I'm communicating. You know, I spend a lot of time doing a lot of engagement because, like you said, you see me in Facebook. Have you ever realized that I engage with every single comment? Because to me, that's important. I feel that the online conversation is just as important or more important than even the offline conversation, because a good online conversation makes an offline conversation really, really easy to have.
Right. And Facebook even likes it too, right? So the more you drive engagement and you commit to having that dialogue and those comments, you know, Facebook sees you as an engaging individual, and you'll be continue to be presented in their algorithm as someone that, you know, that just surfaces to the extent organic reach is challenging. It's that literally tactical, very committed, focused effort to engage at every level probably is helping you immensely.
Yeah, some people might cold call. If you watch me, I have Facebook. I spend my time having conversations. I probably have more conversations on Facebook than in a day than most people have cold calling in a week. And I probably, you know, I mean, it's plain and simple. Like, I mean, people argue with me, why don't you cold call? Like, I said, well, why would I cold call? Go look at my Facebook feed. You know, now are all those people that can buy? Absolutely not. But all those people are people that can give me a referral or, you know, one direct conversation. So I think it's a preference. There's no really, you know, everybody in sales is going to be strong at certain areas of sales. Some people are going to be good at cold calling. So I think that they should stick with that. And if you're really good at that, but I think where the disconnect is that sales reps today are told, traditionally they've been told how to sell. I can't tell you a time where I've ever been at a company and they didn't have a sales trainer that came in and told you exactly what to say, how to say it. And here's the metrics and KPIs. X amount of dials. You know, when is the last time anybody ever let a sales rep actually figure out how they feel good about, where they feel good about selling and what channels they feel the most comfortable? Because the best salespeople I know are marketers. The people that I know that put up the most revenue at their businesses the fastest are core, you know, they're salespeople at heart. When they get on the phone, they're going to sell you. But what they're really good at selling you before you get on the phone, one-to-one. Mm-hmm. It's the difference between marketing and social selling. Marketing is one to many, and it's written one to many. You know, social selling is, I write either a piece of content for you, I make a video for you, I engage directly with you. And in sales, you have to understand how to do social one to one. You're not a marketer, but you are a salesperson. And what that means is that if your buyers want to communicate one place, it's your job to figure out how to effectively communicate there.
Right, right. So if you're trying to break the ice, what's your favorite way to break the ice with somebody? So say you are in pursuit of an individual, let's say an ideal client. How do you break the ice?
It just kind of depends, you know. It depends on what they do, right? I'm a firm believer that if you give me the right tools to, you know, to make me efficient and tell me where they live and what they're tweeting about, what they share on LinkedIn, what they, you know, going to their Instagram and seeing that they're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, whatever that may be, I'm good salespeople. All they need is a little bit of insight, And then they take that insight and they personalize it. That could be a cold call. I mean, the most pick up the phone that if you look at something and you can tie commonality and personalization into it, pick up the phone or send a cold email, but you're going to be a lot different than everybody else because it's actually not going to be cold. The reason being is because you're going to personalize it in a way that this person has never, ever seen another sales rep do. And that is going to automatically put you in a whole different bucket of salespeople. And I will tell you, salespeople that figure that out and they spend just a little bit of time to try to figure out and tie commonality, their network, people they know, what are they interested in, what sports teams, all this stuff. You don't have to spend a lot of time to be able to use your mind, tie it together, personalize a message, make it creative. Humor wins every time. And I love humor. Any way that I can get humor, I love gifts.
Yeah.
I think gifts are absolutely the most phenomenal thing. Now, the thing about sales is not everybody responds the same way to certain prospecting techniques and you have to understand that. You have to bob and move. And sometimes you'll win. You're going to lose a few. But you have to stand out. You have to be different. And that all comes and stems from the data and the insights and how you tie the commonality and personalization into those.
Right, right. So getting engagement, those are really effective techniques for engagement. Once you get their attention, right, and you're clever enough to get their attention, how do you build trust and credibility? And that's where, what's it take to build trust and credibility and ultimately earn that position as their trusted advisor?
Well, I think there's a few different strategies. I think one of the reasons that it's so important to consistently share and create and curate good business and grow people into your network is because over time, trust happens over time, and trust happens when you become super valuable to somebody, not just once, not just twice, but 3, 4, 5 times. When you can become the byproduct of wisdom or information for somebody, that is when I believe that trust happens in a way that you can start to have a real sales conversation that will move fast and will be effective and will essentially have a champion inside of a deal, especially if you're in a larger deal size. So you have to be visible. You have to be valuable. You have to be connected. Bring people into your audience 6 months before they know they're going to buy. If you have target accounts, do not pick up the phone or go try to sell them, especially if they're large deal size. What you try to do is you try to socially surround the buying committee early. Start sharing the content that's relevant to that. Start warming them up so that you can, be effective one-to-one in a sales terms, one-to-many.
All right, so do you start the relationship on LinkedIn, but move it over to Facebook? Because what's been the evolution of your use of Facebook? Like, where do you migrate between those two? How do you play that?
This is interesting. So the way that I think all these channels are evolving, you really just have to effectively understand where your buyers live the most. Now, there's different. I will never just go connect with somebody on Facebook, unless they're like a Facebook influencer or growth hack or something. But like most people in B2B business, especially, like it's not a good idea, in my opinion, to just go connect with people on Facebook. A lot of, especially at the executive level, there's a lot of executives that they don't bring outside people into their life from Facebook. Now, the easiest way is you go follow them on Twitter. If anybody's on Twitter, that's the best way to start with somebody. I'll tell you why. Because A, most people don't have a lot of followers. They're not really active in most cases. But if you have the Twitter app, even if you don't get – it doesn't go off very often. Most people do not get an alert or a notification from Twitter because in most cases, they don't have a lot of followers. They don't have a lot of engagement. They don't share a lot of content. So use it as your competitive advantage.
Right.
I like to go where everybody else isn't going to start a conversation because that means I have less competition. And Twitter's a great way because you can follow anybody. You don't have to have them actually follow you back. And when you follow somebody, the alert goes off. If you retweet, if you see that they shared an article about something, you get automatic engagement, you're probably not going to be fighting everybody else to get that engagement back. So, you know, use the channels where they live, but I always like to say use the competitive advantage channels. Instagram is another one. You know, believe it or not, lots of people are adopting Instagram at a rapid rate. And if you can find, decision maker that's on Instagram, don't be creepy, but just go follow them. And, you know, and like some of their posts, and engage with them in a very, you know, natural, organic, non-salesy type of way. You know, have the right motive. Motive runs everything in life we do. But start to get visible, right? Visible is like just real easy. Visible means that you care. Mm-hmm. It means you found somebody, you've spent some time, you proactively went out one-to-one, you've gotten interest. And here's the most powerful thing about all this. As you're doing all this, guess what you get to know? You actually get to know your buyer so that when you get on the phone with them, guess what? It doesn't start off all awkward. You're like, oh, yeah, so Jim booked the meeting. Jim booked the meeting, and I see, you know, I was on your guys' website. No, it's like, hey, man, I saw you guys, you know, I don't want to be creepy, but, like, you know, we engaged on Instagram. It's crazy. Like, I saw you were on vacation in Florida at Naples. My mom has a house in Naples. I mean, these are the littlest things in sales that go the longest way. And this is where, like, most sales reps suck. They have nothing else to talk about besides their product.
Right. Horrible. Horrible.
Steve, no. You research they did was look at the website before it, or maybe their LinkedIn profile for 2 seconds. But the thing about LinkedIn is LinkedIn doesn't tell you a lot about people. It only tells you about their professional side of them. And the thing is, most people don't. The professional side means you're selling them. When you can understand and tie the personal side in, that's when they start to separate. I'm getting sold versus, wow, this person actually gives a shiz about me.
Right, right. So transitioning on to, say, another V word, visibility, let's talk about video, right? So video, what percent of your content the content you create, what percent is video relative to, say, pumping out imagery, relative to just sharing thoughts via text?
50%.
Getting larger? Or about, you think it'll stay
larger? Yeah, larger every day. I mean, if anybody has a brain in the internet, they know that the future is video. Everything we do is going to be video, and it's powerful. I mean, video is a powerful thing because imagery doesn't tell a story to people, and video allows you to tell a story. And I think where a lot of sales reps and marketers don't understand is, like, there's so many tools out there now that allow you to become a video creator using just everyday life. I mean, you can make anything exciting anymore. I took a video of my fidget spinner, and I went to a Facebook Messenger last night, and I used one of their new, like, you know, cool story app, you know, the way that they have their little story templates. Those things are amazing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just put it into an app, and I made, like, a little 58-second video of me doing my fidget spinner, and it was amazing. Like, you know, little things like that. I think the video, what it does is it allows you to capture and to educate them in new ways that text just doesn't grab anybody's attention anymore. I mean, nobody reads, like, a full blog post anymore.
Right.
I love these people that come out with these, like, long form content post. The only one that I've ever read more than I read that is Neil Patel. I figured out how to get me to read long form content for more than, you know, read the whole thing, you know, rather than just skim through like I do everything else. But moral of the story is, if you want to capture people's attention, you have to start using video. And you have to start using video at a higher rate, more quality, which means, no, you don't have to go get a video, you don't have to go to video school. But you do have to start to learn and understand technologies that allow you to, you know, be able to use these tools and use video to your advantage, especially on Facebook and the social channels.
Yeah, so I saw you crushed it with Owen Video. Owen's an awesome guy, and I think you were his favorite guest. You know, the impact you made on his show. So you shared a couple of video tools on his show. What's your favorite one right now? What would you suggest just to get started?
Oh, man. My favorite one right now, which I go through phases because anytime something, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I a fly goes by and I'm onto a new technology. Shaker, shakr.com. Phenomenal video tool. Unreal.
All right. I'm there. As soon as we hang up, I am there. So, hey, listen, Jack, I know you're huge on training and education. So before we part for the day, tell us where we can find you and tell us a little bit more about your training and education programs, because I know you're really creating awesome content and you're giving tons of value for a very small investment. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've done a 12-week online social selling course, designed for marketing and sales. It's designed, the focus was for salespeople, but what I found is that marketing is sales is marketing. And so there's a whole level of value for both sides, especially if you're trying to build, a personal brand, or you're a sales rep that's thinking long-term versus short-term. It's 12 weeks, 12 modules, about over 60 videos. They're 2 to 3 minutes. I'm not giving you long video stuff. It's actionable stuff. It's all in a format where you do one little thing, get a short-term win, do another. And it's skillslab.io. If you hit me up, I'll give you, anybody on here a 50% code to just connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter and I'll hook you up.
Cool. Thanks, Jack. Me included?
I'll give you one free.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Jack, you've been awesome today. As always, you add tons of value in a short amount of time. You're amazing. You're a lot of fun to watch. And, I mentioned before this journey you've had. I think I have known you about 5 years now and watching you evolve and just, you've always crushed it, but now you're crushing it at a global level. And it's really cool to see.
Well, that's my favorite part about this is when, especially guys like you that I've, connected with really early in this, being able to be connected with you, watching you grow. I mean, I think that's the really fun part. A lot of people come and go in this whole social world, but it's funny because there's a core group of people that have stuck around and we've stayed in contact. You're one of those. And it's always fun to hear from those people because I do their podcast once in a while or something, but I just think back when I had no Twitter following and nobody knew who I was or, read any of my content. I couldn't get anybody to read it. So, it's always the ones that stuck with you in the beginning. Those are the ones that are, the most important.
Yeah. You're in it for the right reason. And I know you help tons of people every day. So we appreciate it. So thank you from me and from everyone here listening today. We appreciate it. So Jack, keep crushing it, man.
Thank you, man. You too.
All right. You have a good day. All spin, right. Spin on, buddy. Whoa. Yeah, right? I just busted my keyboard with this fidget spinner. This episode was sponsored by Effective Spend. They're a leading digital advertising agency from Austin, Texas, where they truly deliver better best practices. The team of Brian and Alex, they're true practitioners. They grew up on the client side. They're extremely analytical, and they believe in closed-loop marketing. And look, these guys really crush it when it comes to Google pay-per-click and Facebook ads. So I'd encourage you to visit effectivespend.com and let them know that your friends from the Sales Quants podcast sent you there.